Take your Bible to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, if you will, all right? Romans chapter 2 tonight. We're going to look at a couple of verses here, and we're going to speak on the untouchable subject, I tell you. Romans chapter 2, if you will. The Bible said there in verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Boy, I tell you, if you want to get somebody excited today, if you want to get them, you know, just tweet, all you have to do is say something that seems to be or could be construed as judgment. And boy, you'll be inundated with folks that seemingly at least think they're theological experts. And out will come such comments and quotes such as, it's usually Matthew 7:1, and they, "Oh, judge not that you be not judged." And man, honestly, you'd think the absolute worst thing a person could do is to judge somebody else. But I'll tell you, is that really what the Bible's talking about, all right? Is that really, we have a tendency, and I've said it, you know, I talked about it last Sunday, I said sometimes we preachers have a tendency to take a verse of Scripture, pick it up, and forget where it came from, and just pull it out of context and preach it, and you get in a lot of trouble doing that, all right? And I think that's a lot of what happens when people come on that judge not bandwagon, you know. Hey, you're not supposed to judge anybody anything, and you're never supposed to do that. It's the worst thing you can do. But, hey, I just want us to really take a look at it. First of all, the question is, who's judging, all right? Who's judging? Notice the Bible said here in verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges." Now, you see that word, therefore? That's an important word. That's an important word. That word attaches chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 1, okay? That word, it's, you know, I've tried to, in trying to teach homiletics at Bible college, I tell fellows, hey, y'all, you need to get some transition words, and you need to learn some words that can be used as transition, and therefore is kind of one of those words. It's a transition. It's not forgetting everything that's been before, but because of what's been said before, then this right here is true too, all right? And that's what's going on here in the Word of God. It's the whosoever in our text there is the folks that are mentioned and that are described in chapter 1 beginning in verse 21 down through the end of the chapter, all right? It's the ones that knew God but glorified Him not as God. It's the one that professed themselves to be wise and became fools, all right? It's the one that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. It's the ones that changed the truth of God into a lie. It's the ones that the Lord says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. And it's the ones that are being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Do you have the idea? It's that crowd. That's the one we're talking about. I'll tell you who it's not talking about. It's not talking about people that are saved. All right? It's not talking about people that are born again. It's talking about, hey, to be honest with you, it's talking about people that are lost.
Yes, sir. That's right.
People that are lost. It's not aimed at any Christian today who comes to an unsaved fella and warns him, hey, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Well, who are you to judge me? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not judging them. Take your Bible to John chapter 3, all right? John chapter 3. When you look at a lost man, and you tell that lost man, listen, you're destined for the lake of fire. You're on your way to hell. That's where you're headed. You're not judging him whatsoever. And the reason is because that fella has already been judged. And verse 17 of John chapter 3, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is, see those next two words? He that believeth not is condemned already. He's condemned already. Hey, we're talking about he's condemned right now. It's not what he's going to be. He's condemned right now. That lost man, I just want to tell you something. The sentence has already been passed, and it has already been decreed that it just hadn't been carried out. Just waiting. It is much as fellas sitting on death row today and who's been convicted of murder, and he's been tried, and he's found guilty. He's sitting there. He's waiting for the sentence to be carried out. Every lost person today is in that situation. They're condemned already. So when we read here in Romans chapter 2, we're not talking about Christians. That verse is not talking about Christians telling somebody, listen, if you don't get born again, you're going to split hell wide open. Amen. That's not who he's talking to. It's aimed at an unsaved person judging the sins of somebody else. I mean, you know, coming along and saying, hey, look, this is what's going to happen to you, you know. The Bible said you're inexcusable because the thing you're telling somebody else is the very thing you're guilty of. Right. All right? So we're not talking about a child of God. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we can learn from this. Oh, yes. We can learn this, that hypocritical judging is condemned. That's true here, and it's true in Matthew chapter 7. It's hypocritical judging. It's coming along and being guilty, all right? Being guilty. It's that one that's got that beam in his eye and trying to get the mote out of the other fellow's eye, okay? That's what we're talking about, hypocritical. That is condemned. It is wrong, and it's always been wrong. But I want you to know who's doing the judging here. It's lost people judging another lost person, and God says to them, you're inexcusable. That is inexcusable. But not only that, I want you to look and see what's being judged. What's being judged? I'll tell you this, it is not the individual. Look, if you will, all right? There at the end of verse 1 of Romans 2, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest, you see that, doest the same things. It is the works, it is the things that are being done, that is what is being judged. All right? It is the things that are being judged. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Hey, some people, once again, they want to take this verse and they want to say, hey, the Christian, you've got no right to point out and to preach against sin. You can't do it because the Bible says, you know, don't, for thou doest the same thing. Well, wait a minute, all right? Wait a minute. All that is an excuse to cover up the sin of the lost man. The lost man's not willing to face his sin. The lost man's not willing to confess his sin, but he wants to cover him up, all right? Cover it up. I've heard it said this way, the child of God, when you condemn the sin of somebody else, you're not condemning that individual. That individual's already been condemned by God. We're not condemning that individual. What we're condemning is what's being done. We're condemning the action that's there. Hey, as somebody has said it this way, or heard it before, not judging another man, we're just simply inspecting fruit. Inspecting fruit. Now, people laugh about it, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of fruit out there that's pretty rotten. There's a lot of fruit that's pretty rotten. You and I, as God's people, the Bible tells us we're to bear fruit, okay? We're to bear fruit in the witnessing and winning the lost, but we're also to have in our life the fruit of the Spirit on display. Amen. Those things are to be there. Folks, if those things aren't there, there's something wrong with our life, okay? Now, you say, you're saying I'm not saved? No, I'm saying you're not right with God. That ought to be on display in your life. It ought to be those things. That fruit ought to be on display. And if it's not there, don't get mad at somebody else. If somebody else, hey, comes with the right attitude, we're going to get, you know, the basis of judgment. We'll get there in a minute, so don't get excited, all right? Just don't get ahead of me. Stay with me. Amen. There is a right way. There is a right basis upon which to judge. And nothing wrong with coming at it that way, all right? But we need to remember, hey, it is God who judges against them which do such things. That's what verse 2 says there in Romans. All right? He's the one that judges against them which commit such things. It's God that does it. He's already judged the sinner. He's already judged him. He's going to judge the saved one of these days. We'll stand before him. We'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll judge us. He's going to judge the lost at the great white throne. But all he's doing at the great white throne is passing judgment and just repeating what he's already told him. What he's already told him. Listen, the lost man is without excuse before God. God's already told him, here's your sentence. Here's what's wrong. So, all right, preacher, what is the basis of judgment? What is the basis of judgment? Well, we judge things. I'll bring up something that was on Facebook today. And my daughter-in-law asked me, that must have been you that wrote the comment. And somebody had put on this deal on Facebook and about watermelon. And do you salt it or do you not salt it? Okay? Yeah. People that are right with God eat it the way God made it. All right? So I can tell now from the comments, we're going to have to preach here a while tonight. All right? Man alive. All right? I wrote in there in the comments, that why you want to mess up that good God-given flavor that God put in it and have to put something else on it that's not good for you? Listen, don't get me started. Okay? Now, the truth of the matter is, how do we base that judgment? You said salt it, didn't you, Brother Charles? Okay. Brother Kelly, I heard that. All right, yeah. Now, what's that based on? Your opinion. Your opinion. What's mine based on? God spoke. No, I was just kidding. It's my opinion, all right? It's my opinion. Okay. My opinion. My comment is this. Don't you run the salt shaker over my watermelon, all right? Because that could be justifiable homicide right there, all right? Hey, that's our opinion. That is our opinion. My daughter-in-law wants to put some kind of chili powder stuff on it. She called it out. I don't know what the name it was. I didn't know what it was. I said, what's that? She said, it was like it's chili powder. Come on. Watermelon? I mean, I don't know about that, you know. But that's our opinion. Amen. Human opinion. Most judging done by folks today is based upon human thinking, that's right. Our opinion, right. Or tradition, and what we think it ought to be. And the truth of the matter is, normally when we judge other people, we really judge them on the basis of I'm not as bad as they are. Hey, I may do some bad things, but I ain't bad as him. Or I'm not bad as her. And that whole basis of our judging, all of that is our opinion. It is just strictly our opinion. Now, what does God think about that? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to just take a look here with me in the Word of God, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you folks who salt their watermelon. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's in the original Greek. All right. No. All right. Here you are. 1 Corinthians chapter. I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 4, verse 3. All right. Chapter 4, verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of, notice, man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now notice there in verse 3, he said, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Man's judgment. Listen, you talk about getting messed up. That's when you just judge anything just on your opinion. Now, I don't care if you judge the way you want to eat your watermelon based on your opinion. I'm serious. I don't care. I've had people, I'll tell somebody, man, I really like this. And have other people say, boy, I don't like it. I say, good. That means there's more of it for me to eat. I don't have to fight with you, all right? No problem. I like grits. I've had people say, I don't like them. Fine, don't eat them.
Amen.
Got no problem. You don't want them? No problem. I don't care. I don't care. But at the same token, I'm not going to go around saying, you know, brother so-and-so won't even eat grits. He's not right with God, all right? There's no justification for that kind of thing. But there's no justification for any kind of man's judgment. Listen, proper judgment is to be based upon the clear teaching of the Word of God. Clear teaching of the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 14, all right? Romans chapter 14. We're just dealing with this whole thing of judging and what people want to say today. Romans 14, verse 1, the Bible says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, we've got some folks in the world today that take these verses and want to try to tell you that you don't judge the actions of other people. And they, because, I mean, the scripture says plainly here, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So obviously you can never judge anything like that. And then they come back and they also try to begin to teach you there's some things that are essential and things that are not essential. Folks, both of those are wrong, okay? Both of those are wrong. What the scripture is plainly teaching here in Romans chapter 14 is with things where the Bible doesn't really have a clear, you know, doesn't really have anything real clear and solid to say about it. All right? For instance, I'll just give you, for instance, shooting pool. Or if you're classy, billiards. All right? Okay? Sinful or not? Well, what does the Bible say about little balls and a stick, okay? And a table with holes? Not a thing. Not a thing. But I know some people think it's wicked to do that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's wicked to do that. Now, I think it's wicked if you go to the bar and do it, all right? I don't think you got any business doing it there. But, you know, just as far as that, there's nothing there. Give a person a break, you know. If it comes to eating stuff, man, Brother Roloff, he wouldn't eat any kind of pork. Man, he wouldn't eat any kind of pork. He wouldn't eat, you know, that at all. And you say, well, what about it? That's fine. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. That's why God had to kill him in a plane crash. He'd have lived forever, all right? Got on that goat's milk and all of that kind of stuff. So God had to take him out in the plane crash. And listen, you said, well, what's wrong with eating that? Not a thing in the world scripturally.
No, sir.
Now, it was in the Old Testament.
Okay, yeah, amen.
It was in the Old Testament. And it is wrong. But not today. But on the other hand, if I know somebody has a real problem with eating something, I'm not going to go to a restaurant and order it and eat it in front of them. I don't think that's right either. You know, we can give some consideration to somebody. All right? We can do that. But let me say this right here. Just a little note right here. There's a much more stuff in the Bible there's much more things that is clear cut than people want to admit or accept today. There's a lot of people want to say, well, that's not really clear. Well, what, you can't read or what? A lot of things that people want to say, well, that's not really clear. Yeah, it is. It's pretty straightforward. You just don't want to read it, all right? You don't want to take it. You don't accept it. But here we are where, you know, what's the basis of judging? Well, the basis of judging is on what I like. No, it's not. No, it's not. Take your Bible to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Everybody that quotes and says, judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not. Well, John chapter 7, quote this back to them, all right? John chapter 7. Drop down there to verse 25. John chapter 7. Verse 24, excuse me, not verse 25. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Now, folks, that is God telling us we need to judge some things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says this, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. How do you prove all things without some judgment?
Right.
You got to judge. Now, you may not call it judging. You can call it discernment. But that's judging. And the Bible says you what you do is you hold fast that which is good. Well, that means you got to make a judgment what's good and what's not good. You have to make a judgment. And there's a lot of people in this world have no judgment at all because they hold fast to that which is bad.
Amen.
They hold fast to that which is wrong.
Amen.
And man, their life is a disaster. They have every kind of problem in the world. And you try to talk to them and say, judge not. Oh man, you just want to grab them and slap them, you know. Hey, listen. That implies judgment based upon Scripture. Based upon Scripture. Listen, that is why we independent fundamental Baptists preach, exhort, and push. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn the Word of God. Get in it. Why? So you can make good discerning judgment calls. You can do that. You can do that. You can get some wisdom in you. Man, we preach to teenagers. We preach to teenagers, you know, make right choices, make right choices. How are they going to do that? They have to make a judgment between two choices. You have to judge. You have to judge some things. By the way, you have to judge some people. You parents out there, your kids are grown. Did you ever tell your parents, stay away from that person? Well, how could you judge somebody like that? You wanted to protect your child, that's why. Man, I can remember my dad and mom telling me, you don't have anything to do with that person. You stay away from them. And we didn't ask why, because the answer would have been, because I said so. And by the way, that is still a good answer, all right? That is still a good answer. But what they were telling us, hey, look, you've got to learn to make some choices. You've got to learn to make some choices. You make bad judgment calls, it can cost you your life. People die all the time because they make a bad judgment call. They don't learn how to judge the right individual, and they get around the wrong individual, and boy, it causes them trouble, cost them their life. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying our basis for judgment is to be the Word of God. We need to know what the Bible has to say, all right? What the Bible has to say. You can't judge motives. Don't judge motives. But you can judge motions. I don't know why people do some of the things they do, and I'm not going to try to judge their motive behind it, but if the motion, if the thing they've done is wrong, I'm going to step up and say, that's wrong.
Amen.
That is wrong. Okay? That is wrong. Hey, what's the whole purpose of judging? Because it's so much fun to condemn people, isn't it? No. Well, it's just good to make you look better than the one you're judging. No, I hope not. I hope not. Listen, we judge one for protection. There's some people I'm not going to have anything to do with to protect me and my family. If there's people I would not have come and preach here because I want to protect you. There's people I will not recommend because I want to protect you. If I'm going to err, I want to err on the side of safety. I just want to err on the side of safety. Being careful. Now, man, when I was a kid, I would often err on the side of disaster, all right? But, man, I want to tell you, I want to err now on the side of safety. I want to be careful. And my judging is done for safety, for protection. But also, you judge righteous judgment. Why? Hopefully, to bring one to confession and repentance, to see people get saved. Hey, to see that saved person that's got over here and got in the ditch, got in the gutter and living their life there, to get them to see the need to repent and come back to God and see them get their life straightened out again. That's the reason. That's the reason you come to them. Now, can I say this to you? Man, I hope I don't have, I shouldn't even have to say this, but the way we say things makes a huge difference, all right? The way we say things makes a huge difference. We need to be careful when we are judging someone and judging their actions, if you will. We need to be careful that we don't come at them with a thought that would make them to think, well, you just think you're better than me. God help us never to do that. Help us to have the right heart. By the way, if you can't do it from the right heart, then just keep your mouth shut, all right? Don't go at it. You'll do more harm than you will good, all right? But boy, we ought to judge. I'll tell you this, as long as I've got breath, I told my kids when they got married, I said, now listen, I'm going to try to stay out of your business. If I see you making a mistake, or what I think is a mistake, if I don't think it's real big, I'm just going to try to keep my mouth shut. But if I think you're about to make some major mistake that's really going to cost you, I'm going to speak up. I'm just going to say something to you. But not over every little thing they do, all right? I'm not going to do that. But I am concerned. I don't want them to make a mess out of their life. I've got grandkids. I'm going to say something to them. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. For their sake. I want to close tonight. Would you go back to Romans chapter 2 and then take your other hand and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be done. God does call upon us to make some judgments, okay? He does call upon us to make some judgment. But I just want to remind you, the great judge is God Himself. Amen. Notice there in Romans chapter 2, but we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. I want to tell you, the great judge is going to judge the quick and the dead. Now, in case you haven't figured it out, the word quick there does not mean moving swiftly. It means one that's alive, okay? It is the opposite of dead. The Bible said He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, the Bible's real plain about that, all right? Very plain about that. He's going to judge all men. The living, they're going to stand before God one day. But the dead will too. The Bible talks about the graves being open. The dead are going to rise. The Bible in Revelations chapter 20, I believe it is, talks about death and hell give up the dead which are in them, and the sea give up the dead which are in them, and all of that crowd, the Bible said, they'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment. He'll judge the living and the dead. But I want you to go back to Romans chapter 2. Here's a great thing about God's judgment. Great thing about God's judgment. The Bible says we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Truth. The judgment of God is according to truth. We hear occasionally of people that are individuals that are innocent that have spent years in prison. And then their innocence finally comes out and they're released. What a sad thing. One of the most irritating books I ever read was entitled, I believe the title of it was The Innocent Man. And it was about a man who was railroaded, put on death row for a crime he had nothing to do with. He was convenient. And it led to a quick conviction, and it was like, well, we've got a conviction, that's all that matters. Man, it's a very disturbing book to read. I'll tell you this, when you stand before God, you don't have to worry about that. That judgment's going to be according to truth. Are you like me? Is that what worries you? It's going to be according to truth. He knows me. He knows everything I've done. He knows everything you've done.
Amen.
Those things maybe that we think, well, I've hidden it. You did, but not from God. It's not hidden from Him. His judgment's going to be according to truth. It's not going to be based upon opinion. It's not going to be based upon, human thinking. It's going to be based on truth. Now, that's the truth of this book, all right? Not the truth of what the Supreme Court says, because they keep changing it from time to time. Hey, I'm going to say this to you. You and I, we need to be careful when we're walking on the ground of judgment. But by the same token, don't be afraid to do some scriptural, if you like the term fruit inspecting better, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to point out somebody's doing what's wrong. Now, I think you need to be careful about your attitude when you do it. And if you cannot do it because you love somebody and you're trying to help them, then don't do it. Don't do it. But I believe the old statement I heard years ago, nobody loves like somebody who warns, and nobody warns like someone who loves. And I believe that. I believe that. So nothing wrong with that judgment, but you be careful about how you do it. And don't be swayed by the crowd that won't say, judge not, judge not. Don't let that bother you. They only know one or two verses in the Bible. They don't know enough to be dangerous, okay? But I'll tell you this, I'm going to leave that great judgment up to God. I'm going to leave that up to Him. That's His business. But if I see you violating the scriptures, don't think the preacher's not going to come and say, hey, that's wrong. You need to get right. You need to get right. You need to repent. You need to get right. Not going to back down. Well, preacher, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm just talking about what you're doing. What you're doing. Let's be careful. Let's stick with the book, okay? Stick with the book. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us see the truth of the Word of God. What a wonderful, wonderful gift we have in the Word of God. Lord, you've given us your complete revelation. Everything you want us to know, it's right here. And Lord, we need to act upon what we know. Lord, help us to judge righteous judgments. Help us to be willing to warn people. Help us not to be afraid to take a stand for right and point out where folks are wrong. But Lord, help us to have the right spirit, the right attitude, to examine ourselves before we do it. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.